Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Now, one of the things that's going on is a big headline in the Straits Times today about being allowed to return to workplaces, well, more people being allowed to do that from September 28th. But due to COVID-19, we've been asking that question, is working from home now the new norm?
A recent Edelman survey says that just 14% of employees trust their CEOs to lead them as they return to the workplace.
Incredible. 14%.
Now, an additional 42% of the participants in that survey say that they are not sure that they're not going to get COVID-19 vaccine once it's available.
So since employees don't feel safe to return to work, companies need to adopt remote work solutions to please their employees. And companies that don't, they might run the risk of seeing their employees leave to go to more flexible companies.
And of course, many companies have already announced that through next year, they're going to have a work from home policy, big ones like Google and Twitter and others. But from a company perspective, how will continuing remote work schemes benefit them in the long run after we hopefully get past COVID-19.
Yes, and are companies all around the world ready to let their employees be home-based? That's the operative question. We have on the line Mo Vella, he's Chief Transparency Officer at Transparent Business. And apparently, Mo, you're in Vermont right now. How are you?
I am in Vermont, and for those who don't know, it's a little slice of paradise in the northern part of the United States in the northeast corner.
Indeed.
It is wonderful.
Mo, have the leaves started to change yet? Because Vermont is one of those places you have to go.
Obviously, you're very aware this is what Vermont is known for. It's probably the fall foliage capital of the United States. They have just begun their transition. The leaves and the yellow, the red, the beautiful, vibrant oranges are everywhere. It literally is majestic.
It sounds stunning. So, Mo, can I just get this right? You wear many, many hats. You're an attorney, political advisor. You've served in President Obama's administration as the director of administration, a senior advisor in the office of Vice President Joe Biden. Is this all true?
Have you heard of him?
it sounds very familiar, the name, I have to say.
It is all true, and it was a privilege to actually be his director of management and a senior advisor for the first 18 months of his vice presidency in the White House. I have the privilege, by the way, of being the first Hispanic American to serve twice in the White House. I was also CFO and senior advisor to Vice President Al Gore for 5 years.
Wow.
So I've had two tenures in the White House.
Well, maybe we'll talk politics toward the end of the segment, because we have just one or two questions for you on that.
Sure.
But let's talk about remote work, because that is something that you are really heavily focused on right now, over
That's
a decade
right.
of industry experience in that. And now, as Chief Transparency Officer, that is kind of an interesting title. What are you doing with that? What does that mean to our listeners?
Well, I'm also on the board of directors as well at Transparent Business. We're very proud. We have a software that we had created long time ago, but when the pandemic hit, our software has really evolved into probably arguably the most comprehensive one of its type in the world. It manages and coordinates remote workforces, believe it or not. So it was amazing that we had grown, and then the pandemic hit, and now the demand for our software has grown, as you can imagine, exponentially. But it's one of the few in the world that actually doesn't use a big brother or spyware tactic. Mm. We don't involve cameras. We don't spy on employees. We allow managers and employers to actually have software placed on their employees' laptops and computers that the employee actually manages and controls through screenshots and analytics and all kinds of Gantt charts. So we're real proud of our software, but the timing's impeccable as a solution, as you can imagine, as so large a percentage of the workforce of the world is working remotely, as you both pointed out in your introduction.
And something else that we pointed out in the introduction is that some of this about this new normal will boil down to whether or not you trust your managers, whether or not you trust the company that you work for.
That's
but
right.
then the counter to that is, why do we even think that there is distrust to begin with?
Well, look, here's it's not about distrust, in my opinion, from the research and all the work I've done in this field. It's not about distrust. Employees need to recognize, and we need to respect the fact that an employer is paying us to provide a service, a work product, and meet certain performance goals. An employer has the right to hold us accountable for that. If they're going to compensate us, we owe them results, correct? By the same token, I think employees have the right to expect from their employer that they're going to be respected, that their privacy is not going to be invaded, that they still get to keep some semblance of autonomy and independence, whether they're working from home or in the office for that matter. But in, especially in a remote workforce setting, there's a tendency, both of you I'm sure know this quite well in your life experiences and your work experiences, out of sight, out of mind, out of sight, right? Out of sight, out of mind makes a manager very nervous, right? Mm. If I can't see my 82 employees that I manage because they're all over, Los Angeles, as an example, and their homes, that makes me nervous, right? Because I don't know what the heck they're doing. Are they playing solitaire?
Right.
Are they on Facebook? Are they tweeting? See what I'm saying? So
hey, Mo,
it's not about not trusting. It's just a natural human reaction, I think, that if you can't see somebody, it's hard to feel comfortable that you know what they're doing.
Yeah, Mo, not to break in, but actually, I guess I will. when we talk about this, clearly I just did break in. When we talk about this, this idea, though, of making sure people are doing what they're doing, you know, the initial thought during the circuit breaker here in Singapore and perhaps in the U.S. as well was that, like you say, people, once they were not in the office all day long, they would be out walking the dog and, like you say, playing solitaire. But from the different people we've talked to here on Money FM, that really has not been the case. I mean, there have been the regular check-ins with the teams. People are still producing work. People have the biggest challenges have been maybe dealing with the kids at home rather than somebody skiving off and doing other things. So in your experience, are you finding that managers are seeing a reduced amount of work, or is there any truth to that?
No, there is no truth to it. Every study, Glenn, shows that productivity has gone up in a remote workforce model.
Interesting.
So it's almost it's counterintuitive almost, right? You would think, my employees are going to go be doing personal stuff. That's just not the truth. The reality is productivity goes up. They may have to take care of the kids. They may go take a walk. They may do yoga at noon. They may do these personal things. But here's the key. They're getting their work done.
Yeah.
And productivity's going up because they might do it a little, an extra hour at the end of the day because they interrupted their normal routine. So you know what? It is, you're spot on. Productivity goes up. Keep in mind, employers and companies in a remote workforce model save on the average of $11,000 per employee per year.
Wow.
In the reduction in office-related expenses.
And they're also spending
on the other hand.
They're spending less time commuting and things as well, right? At least an hour,
well,
2 hours a day commuting. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
That's exactly right, and that's where I was going next. Employees win. They get 2 to 3 hours of their day back, okay? And that creates a better work-life balance. That's what all the research shows. And guess what happens when you have a happier employee?
They're more productive?
Exactly. So there is that direct correlation to the benefit to the employer with higher productivity. By the way, operational efficiencies stay very, very strong as well in a remote workforce. So at the end of the day, I've been saying for 6 months now in every media interview I've done about on this topic, why would an employer not do it?
Yeah.
Why would they not?
Yeah. But Mo, here's a question. So the headlines here in Singapore today are around more people being allowed to return to workplaces from September 28th. Mm-hmm. And within that, workplace events will be allowed to resume in offices. So, for example, if you want to have some kind of a team meeting or if you need to, you know, launch a new product, that kind of thing, where people need to get together or some kind of offsite or whatever that might be. Isn't all of this ultimately about striking the right balance? Because then is there the additional challenge of, yes, you have this software that can monitor what your employees are doing at home, but then you have to also match that up with, if they are coming into the office, what are they doing there as well?
Yes, this is true. The good thing is the software like ours and our competitors would monitor whether you were in the office or at home. So that's the good news there, right? But To more directly address your question, it's a very real challenge coming up. I call it the hybrid model solution. That's what I think we're about to see, especially you in Singapore who are opening your offices back up, right? I think you're going to see some people go back into the offices, and I think you're going to see some people remain remote, as you mentioned in your intro with Google and Twitter and Slack and many other high-tech companies, big tech companies. Anyway, but this hybrid model is, I think, what we're going to see. The one thing a lot of people aren't talking about, let me just say to both of you and to your audience, one thing a lot of people aren't talking about, especially since you there in Singapore are going back into the office, think about what a commercial real estate landlord now has a responsibility to do. All the people touching that handle on that front door to the entire building, the elevator button. I don't know about in Singapore, but here in the United States, we have the 6 foot, distances, social distance rule. Mm. In an elevator, you can't socially distance. You don't have 6 feet in there, right? The air filtration system in the building, the armchairs in a conference room, the handles to all the offices. How about the break room and the refrigerator door and the countertop and the coffee pot?
Yeah.
All these places now that we have to be cognizant and aware that could put us in a public health risk, right? Could.
Very interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah. And it's a lot more than just everybody come back to the office, right?
I think that's people need to. And this is why employees need to feel. This is why employees need to feel that level of trust in their employer, that their employer can take care of all of those measures. You know, earlier you were just talking about your productivity as being a measure of how well a company is doing. But one of the other measures is innovation. How much are we moving? How much are we growing? It was very interesting comments that were made by Google CFO Ruth Porat last week, and this was about how serendipity in the office leads to innovation. How we have these conversations with people we might not otherwise meet if we were working from home, and they lead to new ideas, they need to new business. That is also an aspect of this that is worth talking about as a measure of, again, it goes back to that balance. You need a little bit of that. It can't just be about productivity, surely.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I'm so glad you raised this issue. This has become very passionate to me, and as you can tell, I'm not short on passion about all this. But I'm very passionate about this particular question because Mr. Hastings, Reed Hastings, the CEO of Netflix, also made a comment in the last 10 days where he actually said there was nothing good about a remote workforce model, and I admire him. I respect it incredibly. I have the highest regard for him. But I couldn't disagree with him more. And this issue that of Google, you're quoting, and him about innovation and creativity. Let me tell you, we've all been for 6 months doing Zoom calls all day long. I've been just as innovative, just as creative, if not more. Hmm. And it's not about whether you're on a Zoom call or sitting in the same room with somebody. If anything, this has opened up an entire new world of innovation. Because I'm on a radio call with you right now. If we were on Zoom and I was on your radio show and we were actually on Zoom, I'd be able to see your eyes, hear your voice. We could connect as human beings. And I bet you if someone tasked the three of us to come up with a new television show, I bet you we could do it on a Zoom call.
I think Glenn Van Zutten could do that in his sleep.
I'm telling you, I'm kind of joking, but I'm not. I'm serious as can be. We could do it. Yeah. And so could anybody else. Anybody else.
Good points. Hey, Mo, we just got a couple minutes left, but we should get a couple of questions in here on politics. Since you were in the Obama administration, you worked with Joe Biden, Al Gore. The first question I would have is Joe Biden's message right now, is it clear enough? Is it resonating with voters to get some of those undecided voters on board with him for the November elections?
I absolutely think it is, Glenn, and I'll tell you why. This election is very simple. If you keep it simple, it makes perfect sense. This is a values election. I've been saying this for now about 9 months. Okay, this is a values election, and this is going to determine whether our democracy is going to survive. That's how serious and consequential this election is. So if that is the message, which is what Joe Biden has been offering the American people, decency versus division, literally hope versus hatred, and this ability to heal and unite versus this racism that continues to be spewed from Mr. Trump's mouth. So you Americans have a very clear and contrasting choice. And this is not because I worked for Joe Biden. This is not because he's my friend. This is me talking as an American who right now is petrified for the future of my country. I never dreamed in my lifetime, never, that our democracy would be at stake. And it is. And it's scary. And it's embarrassing as I speak to the people of Singapore. I apologize for all the toxicity that comes from our president's mouth. It's just not who we are as Americans. And we will one day restore our America that at one time was respected so widely around the world. But right now, we've got to fight, and we've got to fight hard. And I think Joe Biden is exactly the man at this moment in time in American history to unite our country and to heal, help us heal. We've got a lot of healing to do.
Mm. Mo Vella, Chief Transparency Officer at Transparent Business, coming to us from the U.S. state of Vermont, also running a global business development consulting firm. Mo, thanks for your time today on Singapore's Money FM.
It's a pleasure to be with both of you. It really is. Thank you. I hope you stay well and healthy.
Thank you, Mo.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.